So this morning I'm going to start with an anatomy lesson and a story in hopes of helping us all to think for a moment about this amazing body that God has created. This body of ourselves, but this body that God has created. So I want to talk to you for a moment about your gallbladder. How many of you think regularly about your gallbladder? We got one person that thinks regularly about their gallbladder. Well, if you don't know what your gallbladder does, its job is when you eat a really fatty meal, it squeezes and releases bile into your system to break down all of that fat. So it's a very important role. What happens, if you've ever had gallstones, the basics of it are that your gallbladder's not squeezing hard enough, so that bile stays in your gallbladder and solidifies and becomes gallstones. Okay? This is, I'm a pastor, not a doctor, so if I'm not 100% accurate, please just go with me, okay? Now, as some of you might know, you can live without a gallbladder, but the rest of the body has to adapt. So if without a gallbladder, your liver has to be a little bit better at producing that bile quickly if you eat a fatty meal so that you don't suffer the consequences too bad. So that's your gallbladder. But I want to tell you a story as well about the amazing things that our bodies can do. Growing up, we had a family friend who was diagnosed with cancer. And the very first doctor that he went to perform surgery, opened him up, looked at all the cancer, and said, "There's nothing I can do," sewed him back up, and sent him home. But there was another surgeon that said, "Well, we can do this surgery. We're just going to have to take out most of your insides." And so that's what the second surgeon did. One of the things that was removed from his body was his pancreas. And when you don't have a pancreas, here's your second anatomy lesson of the day. You're automatically a type 1 diabetic because your pancreas releases insulin. Okay, that's its job, one of its jobs. So somehow he survived that surgery. He survived for many years, lived many years following that. But the amazing thing about the human body is this. At the end of his life, his body was somehow creating insulin. Now, not enough to do all the work he needed every day, all the insulin he needed every day, but his body was creating insulin, and the doctors couldn't figure it out, because without a pancreas, it should be impossible, but yet somehow his body was doing it. I wanted to start with both of these stories because I believe they help us hear 1 Corinthians 12 in a little bit more of a nuanced kind of way. Paul is teaching the people in Corinth that they are all one in the Spirit. They may have different socioeconomic backgrounds. They may be different culturally or ethnically, but in Christ they have been made one body. As a body, all of the parts are necessary. All of the parts have a role to play. And he defines some of those roles for the people. He talks about the body parts that we are most aware of and also the gifts that we might be most aware of. But the body can do and needs to do so much more. So another example of this amazing body we have been given. As many of you know, we have an 8-month-old baby in our house, and she is trying to learn how to crawl. She's strong. She can hold herself up on her front arms, keep that head in the air for a very long time. She also does this thing where she kind of does a V-sit. She gets her feet on the floor and her arms on the floor and the rest of her body all up in the air. But when she tries to actually crawl, she often is pushing with her legs, with her face dragging through the carpet, because she can't quite get all of those motions working together. Sometimes she just moves in slow circles, or she makes it off the rug, and then she ends up just moving herself backwards, because on a slippery floor, it's easier to go backwards than it is to go forwards, it seems. So why is this important as well for who we are as the body of Christ? It's important because it takes a lot of coordination. It takes many body parts working together to actually be able to crawl. Each step, each process has to be learned for the whole effort to happen. And it takes the time it takes. Each child has to figure it out for themselves. So let's focus in on the church as the body of Christ. First of all, this body gathered is complex. Each person gathered, whether in person or online, has an essential role, even if you have no idea what that role might be in the body. We have times as a community where we may need to adapt and change. A key person dies or moves, and we realize that a bunch of knowledge went with them. In these moments, either someone figures out what tasks are going undone, or the body has to change. The body has to decide that some of those things are no longer essential. But here's at least one of the problems. Have you heard this joke? How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Change? We won't ever change. So, over the past 2 years, thanks for laughing anyways. I'm not a great joke teller, but thanks for laughing anyways. Over the past 2 years, the body of Christ has been forced to adapt and change in many ways. Each congregation throughout the church has had to face this in their own way. There are aspects of ministry that have stopped happening that may never start again. There are new things and new adaptations that have happened that may continue even when we finally get out of this pandemic someday. And I think this is where Paul's words need to ring in our ears. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We've learned that it takes more effort to keep this body connected when some are worshiping at home, some are gathering here, and some have kind of disappeared. We've learned that things we were once proficient at have now become more difficult because the body has changed. We have also seen new ministries blossom. We have seen older ministries adapt, and the Spirit continues to be active in this place. And this is what Paul is trying to teach the people in Corinth, and it's why Paul's words still have merit for us today. The Spirit has brought us together in this place to be the body of Christ, and each person is essential for the working of this body. Again, Paul writes, "Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each one of them as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be?" Siblings in Christ, I simply can't say it enough. Each one of you is essential. Whether you are in this room, worshiping at Solvang, or in your living room, or wherever else you might be watching from. You may think that your gifts are not important. You may even think that you don't have any gifts at all. You know the one who is a good teacher, or a good singer, or a good speaker, or a good organizer, or any number of visible gifts. You can see the importance of hands and feet and eyes and ears in the body. But maybe you're the gallbladder. Maybe you are doing essential work in this body that no one really sees. Maybe you are one piece of the many functions that need to happen for this body to crawl and then walk and then run. You might not think you are essential, but when you are not connected, the body may feel off balance, or it limps a little, or simply doesn't function as efficiently. Paul gives this imagery to the people in Corinth because they did not have unity in the body. Some saw themselves as more important, more essential than others. Some were getting drunk while others were going hungry. As a community, they were not caring for one another. They were more concerned about their own comfort, which meant that others might be left uncomfortable. We are one body in Christ because together we can do more than any one of us could do on our own. Without the body, any one part of its own on its own cannot survive. We need one another. So I want to tell you at least about a few things that all of us as the body of Christ, those in this room, those gathered online, those gathered at Solvang, have been doing just recently. Each one of you was here yesterday as food was distributed at the Bethel Food Pantry. Each one of you were here when bags of clothing were put together from the Bethel Boutique this week for students in need in our neighborhood. Each one of you were here when the doors were opened and the lights turned on for preschoolers and for all who stopped in at the church this week. Each one of you were here as the phone was answered to receive a prayer request or learn of the death of one of our members. Each one of you were here as the bills were paid. Each one of you are here because we have gathered in Jesus' name. As Paul reminds us again, if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. We may be connected in this space, and we may be connected to this space by technology, but we are here and we have gathered in Jesus' name. We have been brought together in one spirit by our baptisms to be the body of Christ. Don't doubt your place. Don't doubt your worth. Don't doubt that you are essential to this body. God has named you child of God in baptism, and through Christ we have been made one body by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us join together and be this body that we have been called to be. Amen.